Did you bring me anything today, Matt?
Did I bring you anything?
Yeah, a gift or something?
No. Look at my beautiful smile.
Not a little snack from the store?
No.
A celebratory brew?
You want me to get you something out of the vending machine?
Dude, didn't you know? Didn't you get the email from our boss? Today is my 2-year anniversary returning to 101X.
I didn't know that.
Oh. Okay, well, this is going to make my whole anniversary show a little awkward, but luckily I did.
Is that why you brought in all the balloons?
Yeah.
That's why there's streamers everywhere.
Yes. That's why there's a freaking cake right there.
Why is there an old man dressed as a baby inside the cake?
Oh, he was supposed to pop out later, but I think he couldn't breathe. I did, however, have Spinny put together a 2-year best of CJ Morgan compilation. And I want to share that with you right here, right now. Ready?
Yeah, was it 1 second long?
One of my favorite quarantine pastimes the last couple of weeks has been prank calling my mom. She's so gullible. Let's do it again.
Hello, my darling zombie.
Hey, Mom, how are you?
Fine.
Really quick, what were those things we played music on? It wasn't tapes and it wasn't records.
It wasn't tapes and it wasn't records. You mean CDs?
How about you CDs nuts?
Oh, gosh, you have me on radio, don't you?
That's it. That is my only accomplishment in 2 years, has been to manage to almost every week prank call and D-snut my mom. I have done nothing else with my life, with my career, with anything but prank call and D-snut my mom.
Has it brought you joy?
There we go. I think it has.
You know what's kind of nice about it is I bet my mother would love for me to call once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, the only good thing I do as a son.
Yeah.
At least call her, because she is always excited and then just very disappointed by the end of it.
I'm sure she's excited to see your number pop up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's kind of nice for you to be able to do that.
You know what? This is going to be a good anniversary show. A lot more fun. Just Matt and CJ coming up. I mean that. We got a lot of cool stuff today, so hang around.
No, we don't.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
No, no, wrong, not. I hate to do this again to you, Matt, but today is not the greatest.
What?
Because once again, something bad happened on this day in history. Back in 1919, Congress passed the Volstead Act, which is actually over President Woodrow Wilson's veto.
And it was not good for us.
Nope.
I know why the Volstead Act was not good. It's because it ruined Sunday Fun Day.
Yep.
It ruined Happy
Thursdays
Hours.
Thursdays on Sixth Street.
It ruined Thursdays. It ruined Wine Wednesdays. It ruined Have a Little
Monday Night Football. Monday. It
ruined everything, and it really led to the huge rise in organized crime in this country.
Absolutely. The Volstead Act provided for the actual enforcement of the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, also known as what?
Prohibition.
Prohibition. This gave law enforcement agencies the power to enforce the prohibition of alcohol. Unfortunately, like you said, it didn't really work out. It gave rise to organized crime, you know, Al Capone, Lucky Luciano, just some household names. Prohibition did eventually lose support during the Great Depression and was eventually overturned via the 21st Amendment in 1933.
You know,
that is over a decade. That I knew Prohibition existed,
right?
But in my head, I knew about all this.
In my head.
Thank you, MGK. In my head, I'd never thought that it was, what, 12 years? 12 freaking years? 13 years?
Does that seem like a long time for Prohibition?
I thought it was like, just, again, without any data, without any facts, just kind of closing my eyes. Like, 2-3 years. There's no way that it went for over a decade. But it did.
Well, at least we learned our lesson that prohibition doesn't work and leads to organized crime, and we didn't, you know, prohibit any other substances.
Else, no.
At least we didn't have, like, oh, I don't know, a 100-year prohibition suddenly against marijuana. Or I guess the prohibition of marijuana actually kicked in in the 40s, 1940s, I think.
I thought it actually started
1930s.
And again, this is a bunch of high dudes, but I thought it started in the early 1900s with outlawing hemp. Because hemp was a competitor to paper products and stuff like that.
We're going
to
find out.
Your point is it's only given rise to, you know, massive cartels across the border, smuggling, death,
now, the issue
destruction.
You have is if you're going to have a free society and then you also decide to have a not free society, it gets a little mixed up in there, and people go pew pew at each other and blow each other up.
The money when this stuff is made illegal is because then there's such a demand for it and the price goes through the roof, and it's just gobs of money. And that's why you see politicians, police officers, like people all getting bought out and involved.
The stories about prohibition and the speakeasies have been sort of romanticized. It's this really kind of cool era where you went and you knocked on a special door. The door would, a little thing would slide open. You'd have a code word, and then everyone was kind of beautiful and dancing, and it was awesome. What you don't know, because it hasn't made history as much, if you read about it, they were making their own gin and vodka, things like that. It wasn't always pure, and people were regularly dying
from
at
it.
These speakeasies, yeah. Or going blind.
Because it was bathtub liquor. And,
yeah.
And now, what do you have? You have fentanyl
yeah.
being put in everything. So it doesn't. It's drugs are by any kind, but prohibition's worse. To answer your question, the Marijuana Act, the short answer it says is 1937.
Okay.
Is when the marijuana was officially prohibited.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? That it was that late? Because then I think a lot of people feel, well, I guess it's just always been illegal, but it wasn't until, it's less than 100 years.
Yeah. So. But now I'm wondering, when was, do you remember the video Reefer Madness?
Yep.
That, I feel like that was in the 20s.
It may have been.
Who knows?
Because you remember, prohibition didn't come about overnight. I mean, there were people fighting for prohibition and the removal of alcohol, even back in the 1700s.
Yeah.
It's a little, you know. Lame ladies is what it was, mainly church
very
ladies.
True, very
church
true.
Ladies, bitches.
Well, today is not the greatest because it was the day that prohibition legally became enforceable. Hey, Matt, we're doing an next session upstairs, and there's some coolers of St. Arnold's beer. You want to run up with me real quick? Celebrate prohibition?
I'm sorry, I'm celebrating the Volstead Act because I'm a pure liver.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ.
Well, it looks like book burning is back.
Oh, cool. Nothing in America surprises me anymore these days.
Yeah, well, there's nothing better if you don't remember. Maybe you've been born more recently and you didn't have to experience it, but there was a time in America when, I don't know, traditionalists would regularly gather up books they felt that we shouldn't be reading, and they'd put them in barrels and set them on fire.
Cool.
And now, though not directly a book burning, certainly it seems like a quote-unquote book burning is a coming. Texas State Rep, Representative Matt Krause, or Krause, depending on what part of the state you're in, he's in charge of a little something called, which is, this just sounds dangerous, the House Committee on General Investigating.
Sure. Yeah, that's just like a license to arrest you for whatever.
It sounds a little
very
bit like
Gestapo.
Well, but also, you know how cops can give you a ticket for, what is it, just like a public nuisance or something, which is basically their way of saying, well, we didn't really know. You were being an a-hole, and we needed to give you a ticket. The House Committee on General Investigating. He says he's initiating an inquiry into Texas school district content, and he just passed out a 16-page document, 850 book titles, and he's asked districts if they have the books, B, how many copies they have of the books, and C, how much money they spent on the books. I have a feeling that Representative Krause, in his very busy day as a, he's like a financial trader guy, and then also being a representative, I don't think he's gone through and read all 850 books. I think the list was probably handed to him by some kind of lobby group.
A lobby group that has a little bit of money and moral majority. I bet one of the books is Everybody Poops. That one should not be in schools.
You can guess what it's about. He doesn't want books that talk about or deal with race. And the list also contains books that talk about or deal with any LGBTQ matters. He says that both of these types of books can lead to students feeling, and I quote, uncomfortable.
But they don't have to read them if they don't want.
There's one thing we've learned is that education should never make you feel uncomfortable. You should never challenge yourself or your assumptions, right?
Just stay in your lane.
Just stay in your lane and stay comfortable. I'm anxious to see how this goes. I will tell you, I think I know what this is all about. It's the same thing as back in Austin, when Austin was a little closer to its farming days, and by that I mean even in the 90s. Regularly, about every 2 years, they would send the police into all the strip clubs around the city, and they would send the police into the Planet K's and the gas pipes, and they would send the police into the Dreamers and the Dildariums and what have you, and they would bust everybody. They'd send the Vice cops in there. And it was always, what kind of year? What happens kind of like every 2 years?
Elections
in general. And what was happening and what's happening here is this gentleman is now running for attorney general of the state. Ken Paxton is currently the attorney general. Ken Paxton has been indicted for the last 8 years. He used his office to clear himself. It's just funny because Texas politics has become so... It seems like Italy. Do you remember how whenever you would read about Italian politics, you'd be like, my God, why do people even live in Italy? It just sounds insane over there. And now Texas has turned into the same kind of politics.
It's been like this since Tom DeLay.
Old school Texas money and dudes coming to town and smoking cigars and slapping each other on the ass and then splitting town.
Hold on. CJ Morgan, for one, support all you mobster Republican Texas gang bosses.
It's not just Republicans. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm on the other side. I know. I'm just saying you might want to paint with a broader brush. I think there's a lot of folks guilty of taking that graft, doing what they can. Anyway, I think this gentleman is trying to run to the right of already very right Ken Paxton, and he sees this as an opportunity to get his name in the papers. Yeah. It's worked because we're talking about it. It's just something I've believed in since I was a kid that... I think that censoring books is just a weird, weird move.
Works in the past, I guess. Gets people notice.
I know, but I like to look at the pictures, especially, you know.
Connect the dots, Richard Scary books.
I like to imagine I could touch some of them parts.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Matt, you've got family from Wisconsin, right?
I married into some Wisconsin family.
We've recently been talking about pumpkins and Christmas and all that stuff, and you kind of brought up the other day that this time of year in Wisconsin, where your wife is from, who wants to carve pumpkins, they don't rot because it's cold, chilly, it's snowy, it's icy. I guess there's been a bit of a warm snap in Wisconsin because the police up there... recently arrested a drunk driver who tried to set up his ice fishing shack on an unfrozen lake.
No good.
It says cops in Wisconsin posted a photo after a drunk guy apparently tried to set up his ice shack on the lake, and it wasn't frozen over yet. His truck is connected to the trailer, and both are submerged in water. They managed to get the man out safely and then promptly arrested him for drunk driving, and this happened in Barron County. Not quite sure what that is at, but I want to show you this picture that the officers posted of the man's truck. And the it doesn't look like there's any ice on that lake at all.
There is. I'm going to let the listeners know that there is zero ice. There is no ice. But can I also just say that this time of year, there isn't. Like, this is just... altogether bad timing on this guy's part. This is just a guy being drunk. Yeah.
Oh man, that is a hell of a drunk mistake, though. I, I, I feel bad in a way. I mean, he was only a danger to himself, maybe the officers that had to rescue him, but just that, like, you got to imagine, if he's pulling out his fishing trailer in his truck, he got in a fight with his wife.
Nah.
He got laid off from his job. Something happened to this guy to where he got hammered, loaded up his truck, attached his ice fishing trailer, and then just backed into what looks like pretty much a swamp. Yeah, no ice anywhere.
Do you know what happened to him? He lived in Wisconsin. Getting that kind of drunk is literally just something you do on a Tuesday in Wisconsin. I'm constantly shocked when I go up there and I see I'm from Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas.
Sixth Street partying.
There's people partying every night of the week. And when I go to Wisconsin, I sometimes think, there should be an intervention for the state.
They need to help these people.
Somebody do something quick.
Well, he's alive in jail. And again, I read this story and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of funny. But then when I look at the picture, the trees aren't even frosted over. It is.
No, he's an idiot.
101X.
Here's more Matt and CJ.
The experts have come out and said you need to do more sucking in bed.
Dude, duh.
Yeah, they have all agreed, and they've said, look, if you want to live a healthier and longer life, more sucking when it comes to the mattress.
Oh, I was like, on air, we do that perfectly enough every day.
Stop. Be positive. Today, it is time for your goofy or great green report, or great or goofy green report. I go and look at stuff from the green world. And what they're saying is, hey, look, your mattress is infested with mites, all kinds of stuff that's ruining your life. Mites, dust.
Spiders, skin flakes.
And there's bugs that live off of your skin flakes, and it's bad. So they're recommending that you get a mattress vacuum and do more sucking. Here's the problem, though. There are a couple of companies that have come out with these mattress vacuums. I guess they're supposed to be handier than just putting your whole ass vacuum up on top of the mattress.
Or a dust buster. Remember those?
Have you ever vacuumed your mattress once, even in your life?
I don't think so. I change the sheets pretty regularly.
And you would think that would be enough, right?
Yeah, I guess not. Ew.
You have a little dun 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 dun. Boom, 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 boom. Play it right now because it is. Yeah, folks. So people are going through and they're vacuuming. These vacuums have a UV light on them that supposedly will kill certain types of bacteria.
Okay.
And can make. And they're recommending, like they're saying, hey, you could even take these with you when you go to a hotel, or whatever. Well, here's the problem.
Gross.
A couple of moms have started sharing to the internet. They started using the vacuum on their teenage son's beds.
You don't turn a UV light or a black light on in a room?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Okay, I'm going to show you a picture.
Okay.
I don't want you to start vomiting. I know you just ate some chicken nugs, okay? But this is what one mom shared from her. This is from her running the vacuum on her son's full-size bed, okay? She said, hey, look, there's a mattress cover on this thing, and I take the mattress cover off and wash it pretty regularly. I took the mattress cover off and then vacuumed the mattress thinking everything would be okay. That's what came out of her teenage son's mattress.
Oh, that is worse than I was expecting a Jackson Pollock painting. That looks like someone tipped over an urn.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It is. So I guess that maybe this is supposed to be like a great mechanism because, hey, look at but I'm going to call it goofy green and rate
not
it low
green.
And
okay.
Say don't get it because do you really want to know what you've been sleeping on?
Sometimes it's best not to know at all. Just like when you go to Wiener Schnitzel, you don't want to know what all's in the chili. You just want to eat it because it tastes good. Ignorance is bliss.
Sometimes speaking of just wanting to eat it, you don't need to know these things about your partner either. Think about the gross things you're doing anyway, and then don't worry about the mites. Just get in there. Anyway, if you want one of these vacuums, I don't know why you'd buy an individual of another $50 appliance. I just say, yeah, just put the whole full-size vacuum up there. Don't ever look inside the bag.
Yeah, no need for this new invention. Just get it over with.
Oof. Or maybe I'll buy one and then we'll...
Ooh. We'll compare each other's beds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
You let the dogs sleep on your bed, don't you?
I do.
Oh, God, you're disgusting.
But they're cute. It's pickle.
Doesn't matter.
They're peeing.
Dogs should not be on the bed.
Nah, dude, they totally should. They're cool.
Really?
Yeah, we clean them pretty regularly, but yeah, they still, you know, they're dogs. I get it. That's also why I got the sheet, the mattress covered, wash the sheets regularly, shower every morning, wash the dogs. God, don't make me think. Don't, come on, man. Don't make me start. I will not be able to sleep now.
Sorry.
101X, Matt and CJ.
It's time to get crypto, Matt. I don't think we know a damn thing about cryptocurrency.
I will tell you that I know nothing.
Yeah, which is why we decided that every week you and I are each going to research a cryptocurrency. We're going to put some cash into it. And at the end of the year, whoever made the most money has to give that to the other one.
Yeah, that was the idea. I'm having
That's a great idea.
Well, but I'm having a little bit of trouble.
Well, see, I've got my cryptocurrency ready to talk about that I invested in today right here. So I'm assuming you've done your research.
That's the problem, is the research is causing the issue. I now have too much information in my head, and I cannot decide or settle on an app to make any kind of crypto purchases. I'm overloaded with information, and I have panicked into not being able to do anything.
Fear not. Let me put on my fedora and take a hit of this vape. I can help you.
You want to exhale, dude?
No, man. So I...
What you got? Strawberry? Blackberry?
Kind of had the same thing where I was like, I don't know what to do. Robinhood is one of the most popular, you know, kind of jerkwad trading thing. You know, people like us that are throwing in $5-$10.
Yeah, but I dated a girl named Robin who had a pierced hood, and so it brings back too many memories.
Well, good, because you don't want to use Robinhood, because I think there's only about 10 cryptocurrencies available on Robinhood.
Ooh.
All of the biggest ones. I downloaded Coinbase today.
Okay.
And it kind of upsets me, too, because I've always said, people have always told me I have a little tiny coin purse for a sack. But Coinbase is where to go. You can get a lot of stuff that is under the radar, brand new, very weird, very exciting.
Like goofy name stuff?
Goofy name stuff, which is kind of, I thought the point of this is to pick a goofy name and put $5-$10 in it every week.
Yeah, like I want to buy the crypto coins that are called like Pearl Necklace and Belly Shot.
Dude, there you go. Let me tell you about the one I got today, which is actually really popular. It's another doggy meme coin. And it's been taken off. It's called Shiba Inu coin, currently skyrocketing. $1 right now will buy you nearly 14,000 coins. The Shiba Inu, by the way, is a breed of hunting dog from Japan, and it is being called the Doge Killer.
Doge Killer.
The Doge Killer. It's going to go to the moon and take down Dogecoin. So I bought $10 worth of that today using Coinbase. Now, let me tell you this. When you set up Coinbase, you do have to connect to your bank, and it is kind of a pain in the ass because for some reason I use, you know, that triple verification on every one of my financial things.
Okay, yeah, where if you want to make a deposit or a withdrawal, then it'll text you also and say, do you want to do this?
You'll get a code. Get something like that. But for some reason, I have it to where when I make purchases on my phone, it makes it through Apple, which means I have to use the double verification for that. But then the Apple takes money out of my PayPal,
okay,
which I have to use double verification for that. And the PayPal takes money out of my bank. I have no idea how I set this up.
Are you a member of Al-Qaeda?
Dude, I feel like I'm just laundering money, like I'm some kind of gangster.
Like.
Yeah, so if I make a lot on this, the IRS won't be able to come after me because they'll... because I won't be able to figure out how to get into any of these accounts. So.
Yeah, I think that you actually... There are two reasons I think the IRS might come after you.
One, because I already owe them a ton of money.
I was going to say, and also setting up something that complicated to me, just like a red flag. Secondly, I think they might come after you because you just said into the microphone, which broadcasts over the entire city, a city in which the IRS is located,
ugh,
that you've got some weird contraption going on. Anyway.
It's not on purpose. I don't know how or why it's set up. Like, I usually just buy songs off iTunes. I mean, oh, they're going to really find a bunch of suspicious activity. Oh, this guy's got tens and tens of dollars in his bank account. Let's go after him.
This guy's been buying singles. What's the believer? Make me a believer. Who sings that, by the way?
Imagine Dragon.
Imagine Dragon these nuts all over your head. You idiot. Why would you fall for that? Why would you fall for that?
Matt and CJ, 101X.
It's time for Haunted Austin.
Oh, spooky.
Last couple weeks, we've been bringing you haunted locations in Austin to get you ready for Halloween. Today, we're going to talk about a little something called the Austin State School and State School Farm Colony.
Ooh, that just sounds like some freaky stuff went down there.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Those words just sound like abuse. All put together.
Anything
like that.
That long, and when you add colony at the end of it, yeah.
Question for you. Do you know where the Austin State School and State School Farm Colony exists? Do you know where it is in the city?
Under Quarry Lake.
No, seriously.
No clue. I don't.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't, and I didn't until very recently. But you're familiar with Exposition Boulevard?
Yes.
Wealthy area of town.
Right off Mopac.
Right. And in between Mopac and Exposition are some very fancy houses. And right up there at the tip where that fancy neighborhood would meet generally Camp Mabry, just south of Camp Mabry, there's an area that just seems all wooded, and now you drive by it. I think we've all been by it, and there's a Randall's. Ooh. And whatever. Behind all of that,
you've piqued my interest,
is a giant 400-acre plot of land.
Empty?
It hasn't been developed. Well, it's not empty. It has 68 buildings. Over the years at the Austin State School and State School Farm Colony, it was intended for mentally troubled juvenile offenders, okay? Which we all know what that
haunted
means.
Haunted AF.
I think so, too. Many of whom, many of the students who went there literally never left the grounds. On the school's 436 acres, 1,800 students were housed across 68 buildings. The campus also held farmland, a swimming pool, and a cemetery. Why would it hold a cemetery? Because there were about 3,000 students who never left the property and
don't
were
doubt
buried
that.
On the property.
This is the plot of so many horror movies.
Yeah. School was sued in the 1960s. It changed its name to the Travis State School for inadequate living conditions. They were sued for inadequate living conditions. They closed in the late 1990s. Many of the buildings have been taken over by charter schools, which is just even more creepy to have other kids running around on land where there, you know, that there are some unmarked graves out there.
Yeah.
There were some kids that were touched inappropriately.
Abused,
we know what
beaten.
Happened in places like that, especially in the earlier part of the last century. Many of the buildings remain empty to this day. So there's just these old buildings where kids were abused, and that nobody's been in them for 30 years.
That's freaky. Probably made of all lead and asbestos. Oh.
Yeah, also made of the screams of children.
That, of everything we've talked about so far during Haunted Austin, that's the one that gives me the, like, inside shivers. Like, I feel like going out, I want to go out there. I want to visit this place, but I think that is the spookiest
so far.
Here's what
creeped me out. I know where, like, the state hospital is. I've been on that property. I knew this where the state hospital was. I never knew that this school existed here in
the middle
city.
Of the most expensive neighborhood
and
in Austin.
How would I not know? Because that's the kind of stuff that I'm into, is knowing, hey, what's behind that wall over there? And for it to still be kind of a secret tells me there must have been some wicked AF stuff going on. And I will say, feels weird to buy like a multi-million dollar house over there knowing that there's just like
ghost kids,
children's blood in your groundwater.
Angry.
Poltergeist 8.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X. And now it's time for the Nerd Report.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Big Today in the Nerd Report, you could own a patriotic piece of American history.
Like, you can buy a copy of the Constitution?
Even better, Captain America's shield.
Oh, that's way cooler than the Constitution.
Auctioned off as we speak. It's, it's been invented in the comic books, been a piece of pop culture for a very long time, but absolutely blew up in the MCU once Chris Evans donned the uniform and the shield, and now you could buy it.
That's the shield that all the founding fathers signed, right? Hancock, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson.
A little cooler than that, actually. It's made from vibranium.
What?
It's an elemental metal that you can find in Wakanda that came from an asteroid, and it's one of the strongest metals in the world. And the shield, I believe, was made by Tony Stark's father and given to Captain America to fight the Nazis.
So awesome.
Yes.
Wait. To fight the Nazis.
You could buy it now.
I thought the Nazis were cool again.
Only for a few select people living in the South.
Oh, okay.
Hake's Auction is offering up the prop to the highest bidder, and one lucky Marvel Cinematic Universe fan will get the chance to win it. There are only 6 days left. The good news is I see only 10 people have bid. Matt, put a price on Captain America's shield.
I need a little bit of information. This is a prop shield from one of the films?
Yes.
And there are how many of these were made?
It is the one that they used. It is the number one.
All right, CJ.
Don't roll your eyes.
I think probably I have been on film sets and they never have just one of anything in case something happens. You can't just shut down a whole film shoot because there's a dent in it or something.
Well, yeah, the dinky little films you've been on, but this is Marvel. This is Disney. This is Captain America's shield.
All the more reason that they would have like 30 of these things.
This is the authenticated, official, only one. How much you spending on it, Matt?
Am I spending?
How much?
$1?
What's the highest bid right now?
$9,000.
Very close. Actual retail price. $82,500 for Captain America's shield
right
now.
You can save up a lot of money when you're not spending it on dates, huh?
Yeah.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
I drank too much last night.
Yeah, how was your weekend?
And this has been the longest show of my life.
Dude, you pulled a CJ.
Yeah, I pulled a CJ.
You went partied on Wednesday night, and you are looking like it. I even brought you a St. Arnold's beer to you know, get a little hair of the dog, and you looked like you wanted to vomit on it.
Yeah, I didn't want to see that. I appreciate you bringing it to me and trying to help me, but you know, I had to leave here last night right at the end of the show to go meet up with some guys, and they had just finished dinner by the time I hooked up with them, so I didn't eat dinner.
Oh.
But we went on a dive bar run last night. We rented a luxury van, a big old Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, nice and leather. No, please stop that. And the van took us from places to place. So we went to the Dry Creek Cafe, which you may or may not know is closing. It's a pretty historical little dive bar here in the city, and it is closing in 2 more days. And we went there, and then from there we went to Buddy's Place, which is up on North Burnett. Then we went to Barfly on Airport. Then we went to Don's Depot over on 5th. And then we went to the Cloakroom to end things up at the end of the evening. And at each one of those places we had a beer or two. And maybe there was some whiskey. Well, it was one of those things. There was a bunch of guys. And, you know, we didn't really go out for any particular reason other than to put a little coin on the loin, if you will. And my goodness, I did not pace myself very well. Also, I just don't drink like that. So I... this morning was, I had to get up and drive my daughter to school.
School still smelled like diesel fuel.
Oh, my God.
Tell me, what time did you get in last night?
Oh, 2 a.m.
Hell yeah, man!
Here's the worst part of it. I was with some great guys. We had some really fun laughs last night. Good time, you know, kind of group too, where, you know, somebody buys a round, the next person buys a round. There's nobody sweating like, well, I bought one, you haven't bought one, you know what I mean? Just good time dudes. But at one point, right at the end of the evening, we were in the van and the most unholy, eye-watering, hot pepper, Chinese food, garlic, open raw sewage, fart smell starts to slowly waft from the front of the van to the back of the van to a point. It was so unhuman that I, at one point I thought, oh my God, I think I've had a stroke. The only way that my brain could detect this smell is if I've had a stroke. And it happened to be right as we were arriving at one of the locations. And as we got out, everybody just started laughing. And we're like, all right, somebody has somebody has to cop to that. And everyone's like, look, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. And I was like, I don't want to rat anybody out. But it clearly, I could detect that it was coming from in front of me, which means it has to be one of these two dudes. And that, you know, but it's, you know, you're buddies. So usually someone would be like,
I did it, man.
We're in the bar and we said, okay, here's the deal. Whoever cops to it doesn't have to buy any more drinks for the rest of the night. Like, you get off scot-free for the rest of the night. And these two dudes were like, look, I would absolutely cop to that.
If I did it, I would. Like, yeah, it's funny.
And I said, but all 10 of us are here. So clearly, it had to be somebody here. And then we realized there was only one other person
in that vehicle.
And who was it?
The bus driver!
Dude, our chauffeur cracked the most massive ass on us. And then afterwards, you're like, Do you reduce the tip or do you actually increase the tip? Because you're like, this guy is going to die. He ate a rotted raccoon, I think.
Oh, dude, wouldn't that make you just trust him so much less immediately?
It was the end, and we were all like, I don't think I can get back. I'm worried that he will kill us. he's got nothing to live for at this point. It was brutal. So I don't know whether I'm hungover from the drinks or
if your lungs now have, you know how there's like long COVID?
Yeah.
You might have long fart. it's going to cause you problems in your life.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Finally reached a tipping point on this whole people behaving badly on planes thing.
Oh no, who's carrying it up this time?
Well, this is our little chunk about people behaving badly in America, and as you've all seen, you've witnessed, you've seen it on Facebook, you've seen it on news, you've even gotten emails about it. People have lost their minds on planes. They're screaming, they're shouting, and they're taking out whatever is wrong with them, generally on employees of the airline. People who are already just worked thin and trying to take care of you when it really comes down to it. Last night, a human man, beat a female flight attendant so badly that she has fractured bones in her face.
God, what a piece of crap.
But it's really kind of stepped up. The head of American Airlines came out. He made a pretty stern statement. We can play just a little bit of it here.
On Wednesday evening, we had one of the worst displays of unruly behavior we've ever witnessed when a passenger violently, physically assaulted an American Airlines flight attendant. Let me assure you, American Airlines will not tolerate airport or in-flight misconduct of any kind, particularly toward our crew members or airport team. As to this individual, I can guarantee you he will never be allowed to fly American Airlines again. That is not enough. This type of behavior has to stop. And the best deterrent is aggressive criminal prosecution. We immediately engaged local law enforcement and the FBI, and the individual was arrested soon after landing. We're doing everything we can to ensure he is prosecuted to the fullest extent. We're also working with the FAA, who has the authority to levy fines of over $50,000 to disruptive passengers.
There we go. Woo! There we go. And I'm happy to see this, but it's going all the way to the top to where there was a very long statement. We played that little part right there. But they're sort of demanding now, they're demanding of law enforcement that something be done. Because in a lot of these cases, people are arrested, they're taken off the plane, but ultimately nothing comes of it. The person, they don't want to bring them back to that particular county because they've landed in a strange place, right? And they think, well, we'll just toss it. We'll give them a warning when it's all said and done. They decide not to prosecute.
Not even sit in the pokey for 24 hours?
Well, maybe they'll do that. Maybe they'll sit in the pokey. But what the organizers now behind a lot of these airlines are saying is it's not enough.
Yeah.
We want to start going after people. We want to levy a $50,000 fine against them each time they commit one of these felonies. We also want there to be jail time that's not federal, but also, you know, in the local. So they're getting serious. We talked about 2 weeks ago how they've started sharing no-fly lists amongst the different airlines.
Yeah, good.
I think that these, I don't know what causes it, but I'm really liking the idea of making sure that, you know, we of course we cover these, right? It's on the nightly news. Look at this crazy thing that happened.
Yeah,
this
everyone's
guy
got their
beat
phone
up
out
this
at
guy,
the time.
Right?
Yeah.
But then there's not a follow up, and what happens is I think a lot of people
know they can get away with it,
or they just don't even realize, oh, there's really severe consequences to this,
and there should be, which is because it's such crap. Because in the past, if you were caught with a bag of weed, if you accidentally had your pocket knife, or if you had a prescription and didn't have your actual pill bottle or whatever, people were going to jail for that, and they were getting charged with severe offenses for things that are not violent crimes, is what I'm trying to get to.
We all know that flying can be stressful. It's made horrendous by the behaviors of these certain people. And I think if the word gets out, hey, look, they will ruin a good chunk of your life if you don't shape up.
If you don't shut up. What do we say about getting on the plane? You sit down, you shut up. We're all in this together. We want to get on and get off. It's already stressful and enough, annoying enough.
Yeah. This guy was arrested, and the president of the CEO of American Airlines has gotten involved. This flight attendant was very badly injured. Very badly injured. Now, she put her mask back on and continued to work for the rest of the flight because they were flying across country. They stopped in Denver to kick this dude off, or St. Louis, something like that, to kick this dude off and put him in custody. And then they had to continue to go to California. And the woman had broken bones in her face, still got her job done. I commend people for getting through that. But we have to stick together on this. And the same way when after 9/11 people said, well, if there's going to be a terrorist,
we're all going to go after him.
The next time somebody smarts off, it's got to be the end of them. We've got to teach the bad apples a lesson.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Oh, no, Matt.
What?
I can't believe it.
What?
Three beloved dinosaur statues were stolen from the dinosaur park at the Bastrop County Museum. They were stolen. Why is that funny to you?
Because how big were they?
They're large. They were big dinosaur statues that were in the county museum. People loved them. They even had names: Dimetrodon, Dillong, and Mimi. The good news is, though, they were found this weekend.
Okay, because I had a feeling, like, how do you, A, steal a giant dinosaur statue? B, how do you get it across town without people going, hey, is that a giant dinosaur statue in the back of that car? And then C, how do you put it in your backyard without your neighbors going, I think Ted got himself some giant dinosaur statues?
Well, the dinosaur park advertised that it would provide a $1,000 reward for any information. A few other people chipped in, so it had a good little award for it. And an anonymous tipster ended up calling them, and they recovered the dinosaurs. Would you like to know where they were at?
Of course I would.
An anonymous tipster at a University of Texas fraternity party recognized the dinosaurs from being on the news and all over social media. They were at the tipster was at a party Saturday night. The fraternity in question ended up, having the sheriff's office went out there, found them, and recovered the property from a house located in the 2500 block of Pearl Street.
Okay. Do we have a name?
We do not have a name of the fraternity yet, but I bet we could Google map it and find out.
I don't know what that I know what the house used to be. I don't know what it is now. I mean, I know 25th and Pearl, and I remember it was like a pinkish-colored house. Now, Is anybody arrested?
Not yet.
They're not going to play that boys will be boys game, will they?
I don't think so. They do say the tipster might receive some of the award, which is kind of weak. They said the tipster is going to get all of it. It's unclear right now if anyone is facing charges related to the theft and destruction of property. And I say destruction of property because the dinosaur Mimi is intact. Dimatron needs a lot of work to repair it, and unfortunately, Dillong was completely destroyed.
No.
I know. And here's some photos of the cute little dinosaur statues
So this wasn't at the county museum. This is, I mean, I know where this
it's the dinosaur park that's part of the Bastrop County Museum.
Oh, it is now?
Yeah.
Well, that's I know where Dinosaur Park is because I've taken my kids there. Everybody who has young kids has at some point walked through the mosquito farm that is Dinosaur Park and has looked at these things. I am sorry for their loss.
Yeah, when I'm completely destroyed. Oh, those frat boys. When will they ever learn?
101X, Matt and CJ.
It is that time of the show, the time when you get a chance to
win something.
We've gathered a lot of good stuff around the radio station, prizes to give away. If you want to play this game, call me right now, 512-835-1015. That's 512-835-1015. I've come up with a little game that I've played in the past called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And how this game works, Matt, is I essentially go through a list, a ranking 1 through 25. And I just kind of assess stuff. The top 10 are good. The middle's bad. The very bottom, the worst, are what I consider ugly.
Okay.
Okay? Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
I know it's a dumb, convoluted CJ game, but...
I thought you were just going to list girls that you've dated.
ugly, bad, ugly. No. We're going to do a... I think we're going to go ahead and do another Halloween candy edition. Caller, who's this? Caller. Nope.
I wouldn't go with that call. I'd go with somebody else.
Caller, who's this?
Yo.
Yo, what's going on, caller? How are you?
Good, what's up?
What's up, what's up? Are you ready to win something?
Yeah.
All right, here's the way it works. I'm just going to read you a type of candy. You're going to tell me whether you think it ranked good, bad, or ugly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to start with wax Coke bottles.
Bad.
Oh, actually worse. It ranked as ugly. That's okay. You got a chance for redemption. What's your name, by the way? I feel like I don't even know you.
Mike.
Mike, good to meet you. Also sound like you just lied about your name. Oh, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's it.
What about mini Snickers? Mini Snickers bar, not the full size. Mini Snickers, good, bad, or ugly?
Good.
Yes.
Absolutely
correct.
Yes, you know it. Black licorice. Black licorice sticks. Good, bad, or ugly?
I say ugly.
Man, they're bad. They're bad. It's all right. You have one last chance for redemption. Candy corn. Good, bad, or ugly?
I hate candy corn. I would say ugly.
Oh, congratulations! Yes, well done! Candy corn, consistently one of the worst but somehow beloved candies. And congratulations, my friend. Up front at the radio station for you, with your name on it, is Matt. Can you guess what he wins?
Probably a bag of candy corn.
Yeah, dude, you got a bag of candy corn waiting for you.
God, you're such a jerk.
Yes.
Here's the thing, dude. Candy corn is terrible, but of all the Halloween candies, it's the easiest to insert into your butthole. So,
yeah, if you want to have a little fun with it, I'll put your name up there on your bag of candy corn, but I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. This weekend is Halloween at the radio station, and after tomorrow, we always have a bunch of candy left, so I'll scrape up whatever's left over and leave you a little prize, okay?
All right, man. Say what's up to my boy Shannon, too.
Hell yeah, I will.
Okay.
What's up, Shannon?
We got to put him on hold. Don't we get his? We got to get last name too.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, we're gonna have 400 guys named Mike.
Hey, I'm Mike. Also.
Trying to get the candy corn.
I like candy corn too. It's win something on Just Matt and CJ. We'll do it again tomorrow. We might have something good. We might have candy corn. You'll just have to wait and find out.
Matt and CJ, 101.
101X. It is Just Matt and CJ. I don't think we say this enough. Follow us on social media at Just Matt and CJ. For those of you that are lazy and don't want to give us any credit with the Mystic radio people, we do have a podcast, which you can find by searching on Spotify, iTunes, all that fun stuff, at Just Matt and CJ. Something weird happened in Austin earlier today.
Not weird. Horrifying.
Horrifying, yeah. I saw the video. There was a live video on KXAN of this, and I just couldn't stop staring at it.
The scaffolding hanging off the side of a building that they're building down there at 12th and I-35, it collapsed, and guys were just hanging from ropes off the side of this building.
Hanging for their lives.
The scaffolding. The
stories
kind of,
up in the air.
The scaffolding that you see where, like, window washers use.
Yeah.
And they just, somehow it collapsed. Luckily, they have safety ropes or whatever, but the guys were just dangling, and they had to bring EMS out there.
For a very long time.
And kind of, I don't know if they lowered them or if they raised them, but they were safe, but there were a whole lot of gawkers like, oh my God! There's people hanging from that
building.
What are we gonna do? I've seen videos before, and I think it must have had to do with how windy it was today.
That job
seems like I just don't know how anybody does it day to day. Window washer, scaffolding, hanging off the side of building job guy thing. It just seems horrifying to
me. Even the people with GoPro videos that like to climb bridges and skyscrapers and do a selfie, that gives me what we call the pee-pee tingles.
Yeah.
It's not good to look at.
It gets me in the grundle every single time. Would you do that job?
No. I've had a job where I was... Not really high. We were very high. But I used to roof houses.
Okay.
When I was 16, 17, and 18, every summer, I was part of a tear-off crew. And as we got better, we would do more stuff. But a lot of these 2-3-story homes are very steep.
Right.
You're using tow boards. You're a kid, basically, up there with a bunch of drunks dancing around with a tool belt full of hammers and nails and stuff like that. And that's not even the most dangerous job I had, but that one was, it was enough to where when I put up Christmas lights and stuff, I don't have a fear of heights, but then every now and then I'll look down and I'll realize I'm standing like I was when I was 18 with 1 foot on a branch, 1 foot on a gutter, with both hands up in the air, tying something.
Yeah, it sounds very safe.
Very safe, yeah.
Yeah, sounds OSHA approved. Now, you say that's not the most dangerous job you've had. What was a job you had that was more dangerous than being up on that roof, that third story?
Around the same time, I worked at a metal yard, and...
Ozzy?
I wish it was that cool, man. All those dudes probably listen to Ozzy for sure. My duties included...
Duty.
In the morning, we would have to take hydraulic fluid and put it in all the tractors and stuff.
Right.
But the guys would just be moving them and getting them started and going while we're having belt spinning and sticking our tiny little hands in the equipment. We used cutting torches to cut apart rail cars.
Sure.
And then the most dangerous part of that, towards the last 6 months of that job, I managed an aluminum smelter. So we melted down aluminum at 18 years old, and oh boy, we had some fun. But that job was dangerous. On top of that, we were burning up old airplanes, and a lot of what was inside with the aluminum.
And this is out in Amarillo?
Yeah, out in Amarillo. What we were burning up also contained a lot of...
Stuff that you're not supposed to be.
Stuff that you're not supposed to burn.
Absolutely. I know. I did this. I worked at a warehouse, and the amount of stuff we did that wasn't supposed to be done was insane. And I worked on oil rigs, offshore oil rigs.
That seems
for
dangerous
a couple of years.
And scary.
It was dangerous. I really only had... 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 scary moments in all the time I did it. Most of the time, it was actually just really, really boring. I mean, God, it was boring and monotonous. But there were a couple things that happened. I mean, one time I got my hand caught in something, and I remember just clearly in my mind going,
this is it.
Those are my fingers.
I'm losing my arm.
There go my fingers. There's no way I'm getting my hand out of this. And somehow I did. And then couldn't feel my hand for a while, but also didn't want to say anything to my boss because there's something called a no lost time accident or a lost time accident. And if you don't get any of those after a year, everybody's name went into a basket and then they drew a name and somebody won a Harley Davidson. And I did not want to be the kid, the dumbass kid that cost somebody a Harley Davidson. So I kept my pie hole shut on that one.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
When our producer Spencer comes in and wows us with something he found on the internet or a cool sound effect.
Oh, hey. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. How about this headline here? In a sting operation, police seized 17 pounds of illegal sperm vomit. Whale vomit.
Ah, you got us there. So,
which is even more interesting, in my opinion.
I wasn't sure what illegal sperm was, but you know what? Actually, sperm whale vomit.
Ambergris, right?
Yeah.
It's called ambergris. Yeah. Ambergris.
Damn it. I just learned about this today. I feel like I've heard the word before.
Yeah, it's a very expensive...
Yeah, it's rich people stuff because they can't seem
to... chunk of stuff that is used for all kinds of things, maybe like perfume and makeup and whatnot.
Yeah, essentially because they can't enjoy, you know, toilet water, regular stuff like the rest of us.
We do.
You got to get the vomit out of a freaking sperm whale. Now, this is highly illegal, mainly because sperm whales aren't just vomited all the time, so people can go out and kill them and they're endangered. That's why it's illegal. But this 17 pounds of sperm whale vomit, a.k.a. ambergris, is worth about $1 million.
What?
Yeah. So these dudes got caught in a sting operation. Imagine that.
Dude, how?
Sting operation about whale vomit.
Where on earth? Wait, like why, huh?
This was somewhere near India. I don't think they exactly specify where exactly, but there's these two dudes in their early 50s. I can't pronounce their names respectfully. But yeah, they got caught in a sting operation, according to Times India. The puke estimated to be worth $1 million, sperm whale endangered, blah, 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 blah. They're just concerned more people are going to start trying to hunt sperm whales. You know what
so
I mean?
That's why it's illegal. They actually tracked down and murdered a... Do you murder a sperm whale? I don't...
Well, there's been stories about ambergris washing up on beaches before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And beachcombers find it, and then they are rich.
So there used to be a time where that happened more often, but I guess it's... I doubt the ocean's any healthier. But sperm whales aren't barfing as much, maybe because there's lesser numbers of them. I don't know.
Yeah, or that plastic just, they swallow isn't as valuable.
No, they probably digest that properly. No, here's the thing. Like, normally you just find it floating under the surface of the water, just probably maybe a foot or so. It floats, obviously. That's the only way you could collect it. But you have to know it's there. You can't just pinpoint this stuff.
You got to be tracking.
You got to either be stalking a sperm whale or killing one and ripping them out of the guts.
So why, what made this particular ambergris illegal?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No, I do. It's mainly just because they don't want people out there hunting sperm whales.
Oh, you're not allowed to possess it even?
No.
So how do we get it at all? You have to be, I guess, licensed?
It's not like it's the whole world. Has made it illegal. I mean, there are countries that still don't give an F, but India and the United States at least sort of care.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
So if it were to wash up on a beach in America, you have to just not touch it?
I guess you'd have to report it. I mean, I don't think most people would know what it is. It looks kind of disgusting. It's just a ball.
If I report it, then you know damn well that someone from Baywatch is going to come down there and take it and make $1 million
off
of it.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it from myself.
It's unfair. But yeah, that's what I initially thought. I was like, it's just whale puke. Who cares?
Yeah.
Let them do it. At least if they go home and use it for themselves, make your own perfumes, own candles.
All mortal greatness is but a disease. That's a quote from Moby Dick.
Thank
Come
you.
On, guys. You don't get the joke.
It's too bad that drunk college girl vomit isn't worth more. We could go down to 6th Street and become bazillionaires.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
So we keep talking about how we gotta find housing for more Austinites. That maybe isn't working, but guess what? We're finding more houses for cars.
Well, parking's bad too,
no,
so why
not?
No,
that's not what I mean. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The Circuit of the Americas track, COTA, as we know, it's coming off the most successful race to date they've had out there, the big one of the Formula One Grand
Prix. Biggest in the United States as well, if I'm right.
It's the only one in the United States for Formula One, and it went swimmingly well. It's the best weekend they've had out there. The weather was good and held up. Lots of people, lots of money. Well, guess what? They are building car condos.
Like
anywhere from 1,300 square feet to over 6,000 square feet. They are condos that have barbecue pits, built-in kitchenettes, sometimes basketball hoops and courts, big screen TVs, all the stuff you would expect to find in a condo, except you can't live there, but your car can.
So if you're someone that lives in a crowded downtown something-something and you have a race car, you park it out there?
It is basically for people who have supercars, really high-end cars.
Can't drive on the street all the time.
No, yeah. And it's going to be for people who obviously go to a lot of the races, will want to be able to race their high-performance car on the track. They'll have some track weekends for people out there. And it's just essentially, for lack of a better term, a man cave, even though they've already had quite a few females reserving spots as well. They'll break ground for this next year. And imagine, you know, you would have a place where you would invite some friends out and say, come to my car's condo.
Cook out, drive around the track.
Check out my car. I guess there is a thing where there are just some people that have so much money, you didn't need to come up with ideas on how to separate that money from them, you know?
That's what it's about.
And this is one of those things, so...
Well, dude, I'm telling you, now, if ever there was a time for me to finally get that spoiler on my Chevy Cavalier, this is it, baby.
I think so. You know what? I'm almost inspired to finally look into why the check engine light has been on in my truck since February.
Of 2008.
Not quite that long, but getting pretty close. There are 178 of these car condos that are going to be built out there over 22 acres, and they're already, I mean, they are popping off. They are going to be sold out stat. Yeah.
It's insane, man, but I guess if you got money, spend it. Live your life. Maybe toss a little bit this way, but hey.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good news. Good news to my friend CJ. That good news is that in just a few minutes, you and I will essentially be on to Friday.
Hell yeah.
Tomorrow's show, of course, we're going to have more Just Win Something.
A fun game where you get to win stuff.
We are going to do our sports bet. You get to bring in the beers for Crack'em because you lost the last round of sports bet.
Yep.
And other than that, why don't you go F yourself?
I will do that. I'm going to get the hell out of here, but look what just came in the mail. I just discovered we have a new Spoon song that we are getting permission to debut, even though it already played on the station earlier. Spoon coming to Austin doing the big ACL Live New Year's Eve show. They have a brand new song, so I thought I would share it with you. I mean, we are a music station. Why not
spin that funky track?
End it with this alternative first from Spoon. It's The Hardest Cut. You've been listening to Just Matt and CJ. See you tomorrow.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.